My name is John Lusty, and I'm the global lead for industry marketing covering the energy and utilities industry here at Siemens Digital Industries, or DISW, as we like to call ourselves at Siemens. Joining me today is John Nixon, our senior director, who owns the energy and utilities industry strategy at DISW. How are you doing today, John?
Hey, thanks for asking, Mr. Lusty. It's been a very busy week.
Yes, it's certainly fine by, that's for sure. So for those who were unable to join us for the first podcast, we talked about how energy and utility businesses can adopt a digital lifecycle excellence approach to capture and consolidate valuable information that supports the complete lifecycle of their product, their project, or their plant, whatever their business model may be, so that data is available for reuse. So once that information is centralized, keeping it up to date becomes more achievable, and then we can make it available to those who can use it as the knowledge foundation upon which problems can be solved, and opportunities can be addressed using this digital twin of their assets. This is the second installment in our four-part podcast series. Today, we're going to discuss the value of applying a requirements management approach to managing enterprise technical data in the energy and utilities industry. So, John, for the purposes of a level set to get us kicked off, you worked in operations in the field for a long time. What was it like out there dealing with all that complexity of information that was coming at you on a major oil sands project, trying to maintain quality as job one, as the saying goes?
Thanks for asking. Working in the field, especially there in northern Alberta on some of the oil sands projects, the amount of data that was coming at us every day as we were moving through back in the early 2010s was incredible. I'll give you an example. When I would go out and we would do hydro tests on spools of pipe or weld inspections, bolt-up inspections. Welding, for example. I one time sat down and looked at how much data was created when you pulled a torch out and you started to do a weld. And there were at least 36 documents, of which in those 36 documents, there may be anywhere from 10 to 15 individual data points that were affected by the activity of doing a root pass and so forth, all of the work around a weld. And so when you think about just the sheer volume of data that you're creating every time you enter the field each day, it can be quite daunting.
Yeah, I can imagine. In the energy industry, John, you know, this industry is being impacted by global trends such as crazy market volatility, especially in the last few years. We've got energy transition or the ESG issue and environmental, social, and governance. And of course, the digitalization from everything. So if you were back on that major project, John, that you were talking about, how would you see these trends being manifesting themselves on site? How would you be feeling these in the field, do you think?
And you look at what I was just talking about as an example of industry standards and customer requirements that demand a large amount of data gathering. Now you add to that all the environmental implications. Now we have to look at carbon footprint. Now we have to look at waste generated. There's a lot of externalities that in the past may not have required such a level of scrutiny that is required today. As you and I have seen, investment houses like BlackRock, JP Morgan, and others have basically said, look, if you want investment in your capital projects, you have to have a demonstrable ESG plan and one that we see in execution going forward. So these requirements are not nice to haves, they're have to haves in order to continue to move forward to get the capital investment necessary to keep our species with the lights on and the gas flowing.
It's got to be crazy complicated on these projects that can span so many years when you think about the change that's being rolling out against the industry and different jurisdictions, even within the course of a year or two, let alone, you know, in 5 years when you're looking at construction. Like, that's got to be a heck of a challenge. So, you know, it's small wonder these projects get so complicated. So with all that information coming in from so many different directions, you know, how did that show up in terms of friction in the process, John? You know, what were the implications that you could see from this, maybe we call it unmanaged change coming at you through an incredible volume of information? Where'd that hit you?
You know, when you're on a large project, and aren't they all large, but when you're on a very large project and you're working with 3, 4, 6, 7 different contractors at any one time in a work area, EPCs that all have their own, you know, varying scope and so forth, there is a lot of friction out there. There is a challenge to make sure that everybody is following the most current version of specifications, for example. I remember on one project, we were about 2 years into a five-year project, and we had to hire an engineer to come out to actually forensically go back and make sure that the specifications to which designs were done matched what was actually being done in the field, and were the specifications issued to one EPC contractor the same version of specifications issued to another. And so when you look at multi-year projects with multiple contractors, you know, equipment suppliers, systems integrators, EPC firms, the list goes on. The challenge of keeping not only your own self up to date on the current specification versions, but making sure that everybody's working, if I may use the metaphor, the same sheet of music, is everybody singing the same tune? That is a massive challenge in this type of environment. So, if you don't go into this with a requirements focus from concept all the way through construction, installation, commissioning, and then on into operations, what you are leaving the operations group with is a lot of forensic effort to reestablish the baseline functional infrastructure that they've been handed just to get started. And that kind of piecemeal, very disaggregated handover is a relic of the past. And so we have to adopt a very different requirements approach to how we do business in the field.
Well, as I understand it, John, you know, some industries evolved very differently. And, you know, perhaps after learning some really hard lessons, learned that focusing on the delivery of each individual requirement, right? Because even a project as big as some of the ones you were on were made up of, I don't know, probably millions of individual requirements, right? But focusing on that requirement and then working backwards to ensure that the design process and the manufacturing and fabrication processes evolve to deliver on that requirement to produce better results. John, can you talk about how other industries that you've interacted with might have adopted a requirements approach that we've seen in energy?
When I was working outside of Siemens, one of the things that attracted me to Siemens was their ability to bring the valuable digital lessons of aerospace, automotive, industrial machinery, heavy equipment, and make those available by cross-pollinating into marine, offshore, oil and gas, and so forth. And so it's been a great opportunity to bring the lessons of those discrete manufacturing environments over into the energy space. We've all seen these different reports by McKinsey, Pricewaterhouse, and others, where they always talk about the lagging nature of the energy business, of the construction industry behind manufacturing. And that may, in fact, have been true for several decades. But I can tell you now, the energy industry has caught up or is catching up, because we're seeing deep investments in a number of areas that have been around for the last decade, two or more, in manufacturing. So it's exciting to see the transformation, especially in an area like requirements management, where we're seeing requirements management driven design. And we're seeing those requirements then transcend and move into the construction, the receipt, installation, inspection, and commissioning that goes on in the field, and the kind of almost systemic or a systematic approach to how that is being driven in the field. So it's a revolution that we're in the midst of. You know how we always talk about an inflection point? You know, we always talk about that in the graphs. And I think we're seeing an inflection point in the last 5 years for energy when it comes to this requirements-driven approach from design all the way through operations.
So in the world of energy, which, you know, we could say the same thing with the process industry and the mining industry, everything evolves around the contract. Might start off with a design build memorandum or DBM, which then could lead to a bid and tender process for front-end engineering design or FEED, with a contract eventually being assigned, and then even a larger one if the project is approved for detailed engineering. There may even be a larger one for construction and commissioning. You know, all the steps required to get a new plant built and ready for startup. Either way, it sounds like a boatload of essential must-haves, John, contained within an awful lot of paper, right? This is an area where project teams, I think, could use some help to extract the important parts.
Well, that's where we've made investments in really driving these requirements as almost objects, if you will. So you've got a lot of text, right? You've got, I mean, in the past, you had boxes and boxes and boxes of documentation that were flowing out to the contractors. And how you actually tease out every requirement, you know, the I shalls, the you wills, and so forth, in those contract documents and in those requirements associated with those contract documents, the specifications. you have to be able to go in there, and it's more than just having OCR, you know, optical character recognition. You have to be able to go in and intelligently extract out those requirements and then make sure that your digital ecosystem guides engineers during the design process. So I may be selecting a gasket, for example, but it may have to be because of the material type and the fluid within the spools itself. There's specific gasket material that is only allowed to be selected. Well, how do you prevent an engineer from making that mistake and selecting the wrong gasket from a library of selections? You have to make sure that your requirements are integrated into your design process, your design tools. And I've seen those investments here at Siemens to be able to guide during design and subsequently construction and commissioning, the ability to keep people within their lane as specifications require, and thus greatly reduce the potential for errors and omissions as we go forward. So you're right. There is a huge volume, and in, you know, requirements are like entropy. They always seem to be growing. They always seem to be increasing. So the challenge then is, how do I create an object, e.g. that requirement, and then associate it in the design and construction process? And we've seen that technology really rise with investments here lately at Siemens.
I think the nice thing that we've seen in the last few years is a more of a willingness within the energy industry to be able to look more to the left and to the right outside their industry, right? Remember, John, we used to say that everybody in oil and gas is in a race to be second, right? It was always tough to find those companies that wanted to be first. It's understandably a very conservative industry by nature, right? Given the complexity of what's happening in our plants. But now the ability, that same capability that has to be provided to automotive, aerospace, et cetera, to be able to extract those requirements and turn them into digital objects. So now you're bringing the power of software to tracking and statusing and reporting and closing the loop on that requirement makes a big, big difference. So as we move forward here, John, let's talk about an example of how a major player in the oil and gas industry recognized that there was a better way. And let's talk a little bit about what they've done to apply it.
You've probably seen the press release for Shell, where they adopted our requirements management solution. And I would say, you know, Shell is definitely one of those very innovative companies that we've had the privilege of working with. And they're actually taking this requirements management approach in our solution, and they're applying it to their global capital projects system. I've had the privilege in my career of working with several of the super majors, being well-trained in their, you know, capital projects programs. But one of the things, of course, over the last three decades that was needed was this digital frontier of requirements management that would support the vision of a capital projects program at these companies. And so now Shell has taken that and they're applying that. And it's very exciting to see a requirements-driven environment where the digital actually meets the expectations of what management needs from these systems to make sure that as work is performed, their confidence is there, that it all tracks back to ultimately the contract and specification documents and the objects within those documents that we call requirements are met and fulfilled.
Excellent. And they started off cautious too. I think they were using our Polarian solution for requirements management in this specific case. And they started off on a very small number of controlled projects. And last I'd heard, they'd rolled that out to their entire global projects team. So as you mentioned, the two companies, Shell and Siemens, did a joint press release on it. There's a blog on it that people can access on our website. And there's a lot of really good information there. So as we wrap this up, we hope you found this interesting and useful on the subject of requirements management as one way of taking advantage of the digital lifecycle excellence approach to data management. For more information, check out the Digital Lifecycle Excellence webpage at www.siemens.com/DLE. There you can learn more about requirements management by watching an on-demand webinar. You can download an ebook or an infographic. In our next podcast, the third one in this series, we'll talk about the low-code application development and how it's being used today in the industry. So finally, feel free to connect with ourselves, John Nixon, John Lusty on LinkedIn. We love hearing about what's working and what's not working in the industry, and it would be great to connect. If you liked what you heard today, please give us a review and tell someone else you know who could benefit from the content. So thanks, John, for helping us today, and take care, everybody. Have a great day.